You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Police in Cleveland, Ohio have bigger things to worry about right now than the looming Republican convention coming to town in July. This week, the city agreed to $6 million to settle with the family of Tamir Rice, the 12-year-old boy who was shot and killed by a police officer back in 2014. The Cleveland police have spent years dealing with problems of police brutality and misconduct and will spend many more years under the supervision of the U.S. Department of Justice before it can be said that a reformed law enforcement culture is functioning in that city. But Cleveland will still be under the Department of Justice court-ordered consent decree to deal with its pattern of excessive force when the Republican convention comes to town. Is it ready? Looking at that question is Simone Weichelsbaum, a staff writer with the Marshall Project.
To really understand Cleveland, we have to go back to the early aughts, around 2002.
Right.
And that's the first time the Justice Department, their Civil Rights Division, came in to assess the way they handle use of force. And fast forward years later, the Justice Department under the Obama administration came back, did a second assessment, and this time slapped them with something called a consent decree, which is court-ordered mandatory reforms. And they're beginning that process now.
What is special about a convention from the standpoint of police and this consent decree?
What's really interesting is we have the Donald Trump factor now. So we probably have, well, most likely a very volatile protest movement going on, those who support Trump, those who don't support Trump. I've been in touch with sort of professional protesters who come to these things anyway. So you're having just different people from different varieties of American life coming together into this small city with a police department that has a long history of problems, and we really just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, let's take the Trump factor out. Let's take the Cruz factor out. Let's assume this is a completely normal convention and that they're going to ratify somebody who gets a majority on the first ballot. Boom, go home. Even under those circumstances, what would Cleveland be faced with, as you say, a small town dealing with a big event in town?
So it was really interesting. I spent a few weeks going into the reporting and trying to understand how do these things work. They're called national security events. A Super Bowl is also played out the same way. So what you have is the Department of Homeland Security taps the Secret Service, which is really interesting, to oversee all the local law enforcement efforts. You have the FBI coming in as well, assessing intelligence. And then you have Cleveland as the main local law enforcement entity. And then you have departments as far away as Atlanta sending police officers. So you have a mix of both federal, local, and cops from other cities coming in to this small downtown area.
Because of the way protests work, I guess at the Quicken Loans Center is where the convention's going to actually be. That'll be under a kind of a Secret Service lockdown, right, where everyone's credentialed. The protests, managing the protests, will fall very heavily on Cleveland PD.
That is true. So you have usually about three zones during an event like this. So the inner zone, which is the zone closest to the convention center, you have to have a credential to get in. So generally, the protesters will not be allowed there. Then you have the two outer zones. And usually, at least for the outer zone where cars are still allowed, you may still have some protesters who got into that area. But what's very interesting is I've been in touch with those in the national protest movement, not Black Lives Matter, folks who have been around for decades now, older folks, who've been protesting for years and saying, you know, we can't even get our permits done at this point.
Speaking with the folks who are involved in the consent decree, specifically what practices motivated the consent decree and what kinds of practices on the part of the Cleveland PD should citizens be most concerned about if they're played out in a kind of chaotic environment around the convention?
The biggest issue of reviewing the consent decree was actually the way the police department is accountable to itself. So they had a lot of issues of supervisors not writing down appropriate information, not investigating things the right way. If there was a complaint about police abuse, in some instances, the supervisors weren't interviewing witnesses. And that's what they were cited for. So what's really interesting about their consent decree, a lot of it's devoted to putting systems in place so they have to be accountable. But what I had found is those systems actually don't start until January 1st.
So the consent decree changes won't have anything to do with this convention.
As far as the use of force, the only major thing I found was their mission statement changes before that. But as far as use of force, they're not mandated to change till December, January, and the new policy goes to effect January 1.
So what's their rule on the use of force?
Well, their current standard is a few pages thin versus the consent decree, which is a pretty thick document. It's 105 pages. Prior to that, which is currently in place, their 2014 use of force policy is pretty generic. just more or less defines like when to use your gun, when to use, they call it OC spray, which is something like pepper spray, where the consent decree requirements spell it out. Like you shouldn't be firing warning shots, for example. You shouldn't be spraying someone with pepper spray-like substance who's handcuffed. If someone mouths off at you, you shouldn't be pepper spraying them. So it's very clear what you should and shouldn't do, where their current policy is more vague.
Well, let's put the most positive possible spin on this, if we could, for just a moment. If we believe in the good faith and the earnest sort of attempt to cooperate with the feds of the Cleveland PD, which is certainly in their statements, is there any evidence that they're ready, willing, and able to show that they're a reformed police department in time for this convention?
Well, if you speak with a federal monitor, he'll make a good point. They're not a reformed police department yet. They have timelines to meet, and they're slowly starting to meet those timelines. And a lot of those timelines are towards the end of the year, early 2017. So they're reforming. We could just say that. But they're definitely not reformed yet.
What do they say, the cops themselves?
They declined to comment through the City Hall spokesman. And all the City Hall spokesman would mention is what they're currently doing, which is now training officers on something called crisis intervention training, which is learning how to deal with folks who are mentally ill or have drug addiction and learning how to handle those situations.
Based on your reporting, do they have the resources they need right now?
I don't want to be negative. I'm going to say they still have work to do. And also we have to keep in mind that legally, because they are under consent decree, they don't have to rush through their changes. And the federal monitor made a good point. If they rush now and sort of jump to the finish line, that actually hurts the reform process because they're rushing and those things may not be able to stick and be sustained.
Simone, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Simone Weichelsbaum is a staff writer with the Marshall Project.